We will end this string of presentations by probably new rising star in circadian research, and this particularly epidemiology, Kyriaki Papantonio, who I have to say we are really fortunate to have her in Vienna. She was mentioned already earlier by Johnny when he talked about the pooled case control study that made an important contribution. She has worked with this group intensively and has taken an interest in circadian research a while ago. She's an MD, PhD, who received her MD in Patras in Greece. And her PhD is actually from Pompeu Fabra University in Barcelona, Spain. And you will hear now her thoughts. This is, to me, the new, next generation circadian researchers. What will be leading the way? What is perhaps most interesting to also physicians here in the audience in circadian research? Very excited. Thank you, Kyriaki.
So in the next 15 minutes, I wanted to talk to you about circadian rhythms and how we can use them actually in medicine, what we can learn from them, and how we can apply the knowledge in therapies, in immunology, with applications to vaccines. I would like to talk to you about a study we did here in the department recently. So I'm also kind of new to this field, but I find it really inspiring also being an MD, and what can we doctors learn, and how can we apply this in clinical practice? So I would like to start showing this, which you have seen probably earlier when Eva was talking about circadian rhythm regulation and how she was saying how we have the master clock in the brain that orchestrates these peripheral clocks that are in every organ, in every tissue, in every cell of our body. And these are just some examples of rhythms that occur in our behavior, in our hormone production. So, for example, my melatonin starts to rise, I think, now since I'm getting close to my bedtime, and it will peak 2 to 4 a.m., and then it will drop again in the morning. Whereas, for example, cortisol will start rising in the middle of, like, in the early morning, and it will peak just before we wake up, and then we have this awakening peak. But it's like a debate. Does it wake us up, or is it after awakening? So these kind of things are very interesting for us chronoepidemiologists, and other aspects relate to autonomic process. So Eva was talking about how systolic blood pressure and body temperature are low in the middle of the night and then they rise in the morning. And we also see genes switching on and off depending on time of day. So the output of these genes is also varying throughout the day. Interestingly, circadian rhythms don't only occur in physiology, but also in disease phenotypes. And we see time of day variation of incidence of diseases and their symptoms. And while this is fascinating to me, for example, to see that, for example, major diseases like asthma, arthritis, heart attacks occur at different times of day, and perhaps this occurs at this specific time of day relates to more severe diseases, and this is fascinating for me, but also this might mean that all these circadian outputs might be our targets for many thousands drugs that we administer every day to our patients. And perhaps by targeting our treatments at specific time of days, we target these drug targets that might affect treatment efficacy. So this is the basis for what is called chronotherapy. And essentially, chronotherapy is aiming to optimize the efficacy of treatments, perhaps also reducing toxicity of drugs. I mean medications by drugs. I hope this is clear to everyone. How does it achieve this? By synchronizing drug delivery with endogenous physiological rhythms. And this is a very early young field, I would say. So this was the data. This figure, what you can see here, is from a review that was reviewing how many clinical trials we have had over the last decades. And as you can see, the number is rising. So clinical trials that address time of day effects. And in total, this group counted 106 in 2019 was the paper, and out of these 106, 75% of them were showing that time of day of drug administration matters. So they were finding significant effects of time of day of different medications. So I find this very interesting and inspiring, and these were medications for major common diseases like hypertension, cancer, asthma, hyperlipidemia, and so on. And this is especially true for those drugs that have a short half-life, as is to be expected, according to pharmacokinetics, pharmacodynamics, and so on. Now, I just did a quick search before coming here in clinicaltrials.gov, and I found 22 studies that are enrolling patients right now, looking into time of day of medications. So I think we still have a way to go in this field. It's still very early, but definitely something we should be working towards. And I would just wanted to, I picked one example, a successful one in this field of chronotherapy, and it relates to rheumatoid arthritis. And this is an autoimmune disease, as you may very well know, which affects approximately 1% of adult populations in the developed countries. And it's characterized by systematic inflammation and swollen joints and joint pain that is typically occurring in the morning. So the rheumatoid arthritis symptoms also show a circadian pattern with symptoms being more severe in the morning. And this is thought to be mediated by circadian rhythms of pro-inflammatory cytokines and hormones. So there is now, after several studies have been conducted, it has been shown repeatedly that compared to conventional therapy, which is typically given in the morning, I'm talking about glucocorticoids, so prednisone, so modified release prednisone in this case. So compared to the conventional therapy, which is in the morning, as shown here in the blue, chronotherapy, which is bedtime administration of glucocorticoids, was more advantageous because it reduced the morning symptoms, the stiffness and the pain in the morning, probably through suppressing the cytokines. So this was the mediating pathway. And in addition, it seemed to also improve the sleep, so sleep quality and sleep duration, which also reduced comorbidity, so for example, depressive symptoms. So altogether, it seemed to have like an added value, and the authors were concluding that time is ripe to translate the circadian concept from bench to bedside. I found this a really nice example for you to remember. Now, what other applications we have? So, for example, immunology. So immune function is regulated by circadian rhythms and sleep. And we think that this may have implications for human immune response to infections, but also vaccinations. Looking at the literature, so 2 years ago, we found a small number of studies, so clinical trials and a small number of observational studies, showing that time of day vaccination influences antibody levels induced by the vaccines. So these were really a few studies, small, rather small studies, showing that morning vaccination was superior to afternoon or evening vaccination. Always two groups were compared, so there was no like continuous data. So the pandemic was unfolding at that time, and we initiated this project, which finally got published last month, so it's really recent, fresh data that's out right now, and I wanted to just go through together with you what we did and what we found. So this was, we can call it a natural human experiment, as it was occurring in our university, and this was nothing else but the COVID-19 vaccination program, which was led by the Institute for Specific Prophylaxis and Tropical Medicine in the Medical University of Vienna. So in collaboration with them, we analyzed vaccination and serology data from 1,160 MedUniVin employees, all working in the preclinics, that were vaccinated with a viral vaccine, that was the AstraZeneca vaccine, in March 2021. And they were all receiving their first dose, so we had baseline serology information and first dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine, and then we had serology 3 weeks later. So the biomarker we used was anti-spike 1 specific SARS-CoV-2 IgG antibody levels, which is a correlate of protection of SARS-CoV-2 infections. So we also had information on time of day of vaccines and some basic sociodemographics, after excluding participants with missings, and we only restricted the analysis to those who were seronegative at baseline, so we restricted the analysis to those who were naive, COVID-naive at baseline, because COVID infection also induces antibody levels, and especially if the disease is more severe, this relates to even higher levels of these antibodies, and sometimes it's hard to tell which part of the antibodies are due to the infection and which part is due to the vaccination. So in this case, we restricted to COVID-19 naive participants. And we had a nice age distribution, as you can see here. Mean age was 42, and 60% of the participants were females. So the beauty of this data was the information on time of day of vaccination. As you can see, we had a very nice distribution of vaccination times that were ranging from 9 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. The information we had was to the minute, so it was really detailed. And the other good thing about it was that the people were assigned to these vaccination slots. The slots were predefined, so the appointments were predefined and people could not change the appointments. Therefore, we assume that this assignment was close to at random, so people could not pick their preferred time, but rather they were assigned to an appointment. And we analyzed this data continuously, like you see here, but also in hourly bins, and we had a fair amount of subjects within each of these bins. So here you can see the main results that came out of this. So we used a GAM model. So these are models that allow you to evaluate the shape of the association. What you can see here in the x-axis is the time of the vaccination and how our data points were spread. And on the y-axis, you see the effect estimate. So this would be the antibody levels. What we saw was that the association was not linear, as perhaps was hypothesized based on previous data, but these previous studies only had just two groups, so it was not really, it could not be really explored. So here we explored the shape, and we found a reverse J-shape association or U-shape association, where the highest antibody levels were achieved after morning vaccination, so in line with previous literature. The lowest antibody levels were achieved after early afternoon, so around noon, and then intermediate antibody levels after the late afternoon vaccination. And we think this daily pattern is interesting, is fascinating. We don't know if it's true because there's no previous data to compare it with. Now, the hourly bin analysis showed, but here you have to take into account that here we use as a reference group the first morning hour. So in our comparisons here, we compare every other hourly bin compared to the first morning hour, so people that were vaccinated between 9 and 10. And here what we found was that the differences were significant only between the 12 to 1 time bin and 9 to 10, after adjusting for potential confounders. But still there was a difference between these two groups. And because the sample was large enough, we had 803 participants, if you remember, this allowed us for a little bit more of exploration. So we did some sex-stratified analysis and age-stratified analysis. And what the age-grouped analysis showed was essentially that age does seem to have an effect. So it influences the shape of the association. So whereas in the young people, we observe this U-shape or reverse J-shape, in the older people, it becomes more of a linear association. But always, in all age strata, the morning vaccination was always better than later in the day, so to say. So overall, our findings are in line with the two previous studies on COVID-19 vaccines, but also with the previous studies on other types of vaccines that you can see summarized here. So this is the BCG, influenza, and also in line with changes that others found in relation to other biomarkers, such as, for example, cytokine secretion or cellular responses of B and T cells. This is also supported by animal models showing that immune response to antigenic challenge and also immune response after vaccination varies with time of day. We could not be very precise in the estimation of the magnitude of the difference in the antibody level, so we're not sure how much of clinical significance there is there, and we will need further studies to evaluate whether this effect is sustained in the long run, whether this translates to reduced risk of breakthrough infections, for example, and things like that. But if this is confirmed, we think that this optimal vaccination time could enhance serological responses of existing vaccines and might be especially relevant for non-responders or low responders or people that are immunosuppressed, for example, patients. So we answered only a few questions while we now have many more questions to answer. So these are some of the next analyses we are planning to do on exploring whether this applies to other COVID-19 vaccines with different mechanisms of action, to other vaccine types, whether there's also an association between time of the vaccination and side effects. Is it also, is, for example, morning vaccination also associated to less side effects or more perhaps? So before we can recommending one or the other time, we need to look also into this aspect. as well as the long-term effects of time of vaccination on antibody responses and breakthrough infections, as well as other populations such as kids and susceptible groups such as, for example, the older adults and immunosuppressed patients. And so this is my last slide. I hope I convinced you that time, or chronos, this is the Greek word for time, adds a potentially important dimension to medicine. Of course, we have loads of work to do in order to define this optimal time that is not a universal time, perhaps, across medications or across vaccines or even across individuals, because we know there's also differences in internal time. So there's a lot of work to do in order to define these optimal times, and we need rigorous randomized controlled trials and good quality or real-world data, health data. So which means that time stamping of biological sample diagnostics, medications, and therapies would be of great help to us. And circadian, perhaps personalized medicine, I put it in parentheses because this is a further discussion, may be the future. With that, I would like to leave it here and thank the co-authors, contributors of the papers, especially Astrid Erber and Angelika Wagner. And thank you for your attention.